I'll bring it tomorrow. Next week I'll bring it on a disc.
Maybe I don't know how to work a disc either. I don't know how to work a disc. I don't know how to work a tape recorder. I don't know where the tape recorder is. And my daughter and my wife know how to work a disc.
When you go in a car, usually a CD player.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all. I'm sorry.
No, I got the tape. I'll just find the tape recorder. Good.
What did I do wrong? Mm-hmm.
Last week we left off on Masechet Sota, Daf Ches Amud Aleph, about 12 lines from the top approximately, and the Gemara starts Tana Rabbanan. They quote that Braisa. Says that part of it is in one Tosefta, part is in another Tosefta. The Gemara puts it together as if it's one big Braisa. Ein Mashkin Shtei Sotas Ka'achas. If you have two women, two different marriages, and this husband is choshed, his wife is nus, the other husband is choshed, his wife is nus, so you're not permitted to have them both stand next to each other in the Beis HaMikdash and drink the Mayim HaMorim. Why not? So the first Tana says, Kedei Shelo Yehei Liba Gas B'Chavato. Maybe one of them, what?
The same husband with two wives.
The same husband with two wives could also be, okay. He has such a mazel that he has a, has a problem with both wives. Okay, could be. Could be.
Yeah. We learned that a sota usually comes because of the husband wasn't so
yes,
good.
Yes. So the Tanakhama gives a reason. Tanakhama doesn't say who he is. The Gemara is going to figure out. The Gemara is going to figure out who it is. So the Tanakhama says, we're afraid maybe the woman will know that she's guilty. And we're going to tell the Bezna Gadol is going to give her a drasha. You better admit that you're going to die a misa mishunah. So she's going to consider the possibility of admitting and not drinking the mamar. But then she sees the other woman. And the other woman is innocent. So the other woman says, "No, give me the mamarim. My husband is paranoid. There's nothing wrong. I'm ready to drink." So maybe the woman who is guilty is also going to say, "Give me the mamarim." She's going to see the other one. This will encourage her to say that she's Torah. So that's what the Tanakhama says. You shouldn't have two women drinking the Mayim HaMorim next to each other. She shouldn't have chizuk from the other woman who's standing next to her. Rabbi Yehuda says the din is correct, but that... only if both of them are soitas, both are drinking the Mayim HaMorim.
What if you have a group number of people? They're lined up.
So the Gemara says you shouldn't do it. That's what the Bryson says, you shouldn't do it. Right? Doesn't matter whether it's the same husband or different husbands, right? Abuda says the same din, but he doesn't agree with the reason. That's not the reason why that she shouldn't have chizuk from the other woman. It's a pasuk. Elo amakra. The pasuk says oisa. So it means oisa levado. Oh, so that's what the Gemara is going to talk about. So where does it say oso? Where does it say the word oso? So Rashi writes oso. Rashi is about the seven lines below where it says by midbar hay in the Gemara. Rashi is a little lower down. Rashi says the pasuk is v'hishbia oso hakohen. It says quite a few times the word oso. It's unclear which word oiso is the Gemara darshaning from. So Rashi claims that it's from the word v'hishbia oiso hakohen. The hishbia doesn't go on the drinking. V'hishbia is before they drink. That's by the swearing. Then it says on the side to look in the dorim dafai and gimel, and what it says there on the margin. Here I happen to have an adorim. So the dorim dafai and gimel, the Gemara quotes v'hishka oiso, not v'hishbia oiso. In the Dorm, the last line on Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph says V'hishka oiso. Then on the side of the Gemara, they tell you to look in the Tosefta. Tosefta says a third pasuk. All the three pasukim are there. Tosefta has a different pasuk. V'hikri voisa hakoyin. And then he says the Rambam has a fourth pasuk that doesn't exist. That's what he says. The Rambam quotes a different oiso. The Hamid Oisa HaKoyim. So he says, it must be a misprint, Kila Nimtza Pasuk Zeh. There is no such Pasuk. So it's a question, which Oisa is Rabbi Yehuda referring to? But it says Oisa at least three times. Okay. So Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakhama both say the same thing. The din is the same. Rabbi Yehuda says it's a pasuk that you shouldn't be mashka two soita simultaneously. No reason. And Tanakama gives a reason. Tanakama says the reason why you shouldn't do it, shaloya helibakas b'chavato. The Gemara says, is there a difference halacha lemaisa and my benayu? What's the difference whether it's based on a svara, based on a gzeres hakosav? Ike benayu roi says, what if the woman is trembling, she's tittering? So we see that she's not getting chizuk from the other woman. She's shaking, and we see that she's scared out of her wits, she's very frightened, but she's still not admitting that she's guilty. So according to the Tanakam, let's say the husband brings his wife to the Beis HaMikdash to drink the Mayim HaMarim, she's shaking from the very beginning. So according to the first Tana, there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with having two women, one next to the other, she's shaking, and the other one is not going to gain any chizuk from her. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's Hagzeres HaKosov that you shouldn't have two women drink the Mayim HaMarim. Tosis even adds on, Ike Benai Rosesses, Tosis adds on, what if the other woman is not even a Saita? What if it says Vihishka Oisola, whatever, whichever pasuk it is, Hishka Oisola, Hemid Oisola, whatever, Oisola means there shouldn't be another woman near her even if the other woman is not a Saita. According to the Tanakam, you only don't permit it if they're both a Sota and one of them is very calm, one of them is not nervous at all. So then you're afraid that the other one is going to gain Chizuk from that one. But if that reason doesn't apply, let's say they're both shaking, so you can have them both drink simultaneously. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, that it's a Gzeres HaKosov, the Gzeres HaKosov doesn't only mean you shouldn't have two Saitas simultaneously, you shouldn't have any other woman next to her. How does Tosis know that even if the other woman is not a Saita, it's a violation of Hishka Oisa? So they quote, there's a Gemara in Yuma where the Gemara talks about Paraduma. That it says regarding Paraduma also, V'hoitzi Oisa el michutz lamachana. So the Gemara has a machlokes satanoim. What does that mean? So one Tana says you shouldn't do two paradumas, and the other Tana says you can't have any other animal next to the paraduma, even if it's a donkey. It's not another paraduma. You should only have one animal now. That one and only paraduma. One that should be the center of attention. So Taisa says just like the Gemara says in Yuma that by paraduma you shouldn't have even a chamor next to the paraduma, because the pasuk is din oisa levada over here also. You shouldn't have any other woman standing next to the saita, even if the other woman is not bichlal an issue of saita.
It says Rabbi Vihishka Esor Isha. It doesn't say also, but Esor
Isha
is a problem. Ahishbiya says Ishbiya also.
Okay.
What about the Mayfir 2 Noshim B'Masachas, the Tosis?
Yeah,
that's not a mitzvah. Wouldn't you say Enos mitzvahs chavilzer? That's a matter, not a mitzvah.
Yeah, so that's the discussion there in the Dora Mayim Gimel Amud Aleph. No. Ena Taisa says chavilas. That's only a din derabbanan. The next Taisa says. Yeah.
Right.
But here, this topic of not to be mashke two soita simultaneously, this is a din deraisa. It's not the din derabbanan of not doing mitzvahs chavilas. This is a din deraisa. So that din, that gemara in the Dorim has a shaila. It says the hefer oisa, the husband has the ability to be made for his wife, and the father has the ability to be made for his daughter. So what if the husband has two wives? So the husband has a wife and a daughter, and he wants to be made for both. Bevasacha. So it's not
Zeres HaKosov.
Right. Not because of the Mechavilas, not a mitzvah, but the Zeres HaKosov, Oysa Levada. So the Gemara is not sure. Maybe it doesn't make sense to Darshan Oysa Levada because it's not a mitzvah, so maybe the whole Drasha doesn't fit in. So that's what the Gemara is Mesupik. So what is the Machleika Satanoim here? Not to give two Mises is also in the same Tosefta in Pura, also based on Einos and Mitzvahs, Chavilas, the same thing.
It's with this. Chavilas.
Yeah. And Chavilas, that Tosefta says that's only Midirabbanan. So that's what the Gemara asks Akasha over here. Freg the Gemara. The Rosesus me mashkin. You're telling me that afkamina between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda would be if the woman is trembling, she's shaking. So the reason for the Tanakama does not apply. Tanakama says the reason why we don't allow two women together because we're afraid liba gaspa chavata. So she's a recess. You see that that concern doesn't exist. But there's a different consideration. What happened to the din eveinois amitzus chavilus chavilus? So that's what Tosfos says. What are they mixing in two different things? Chavilus chavilus only a din derabbanan. And here we're talking before all the din of the Rabban. Here we're talking on the level of the rice. The Tosfos does know. Okay. But that's the Gemara's kasha. How can you tell me that the difference between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda is if the woman is Rosesses? But what am to the din the Rabban and Ois HaMitzvahs Chavilos Chavilos? The Tanya, it's not a Mishnah, it's a Braisa. The Tanya, a Mashkin Shtei Soitas Ka'achas, because Chavilos Chavilos. You can't have women lined up in a row. We're going to do mass production. We're going to do the mitzvah of Hashkoas HaSoita. You can't have Mitzrayim standing in a line. And then the Kohen is going to look at one, and the next one, and the next one, and the next one. Everyone should be waiting in line in order to do the mitzvah's mass production. And he writes, if you have an Eved Ivri, he's supposed to go free after 6 years. And he says he wants to stay on, so you have to make a hole in his right ear. So that's also one of the mitzvahs in the Torah. Apparently. So the Brisa says that that's a violation of Chavilos Chavilos. Egla Rufa is such an unusual thing. Let's say the two different cities have to bring an Egla Rufa. So you shouldn't do them one after the other. The Egla Rufa doesn't have to be brought anywhere near your city. You have to find a Nachaleson somewhere. We discussed in the end of Sotah when Nachaleson means a river that rushes with a power, or Nachaleson means a karka kosher that you can't plant anything. So there may not be more than one location in the whole Eretz Yisrael where there's a Nachal Eson. So let's say some village in the Golan has to bring a Negel Arufa, and a village in the Negev has to also bring a Negel Arufa. So they'll both come to the same location and they'll shoot them off one after the other. So the Gemara says you shouldn't do that. That's a violation of Chavilos Chavilos. You should never line up mitzvahs to do mass production one after the other. She gave each mitzvah its chashivas. If you line them up to do one after the other, it looks as if you're just trying to get rid of it. It looks as if it's a masui. So the Gemara asks, how can you line up two soitas to have one after the other? You're telling me, according to Tanakama, if the one is shaking, the woman is recesses, so then there's no problem. The whole reason why I shouldn't have two is because libu gas b'chavta. What happened to the dinder rabbanu v'enoisa mitzvahs chavilas chavilas? And for the Gemara, it depends. The only time Rashi learns, the only time there's a violation of chavilas chavilas, if one person, one kohen is going to do, you have a whole, we put an advertisement in the newspaper. Whoever has his wife is a soita should please come on Tuesday morning at 8 o'clock to the Beis Hamikdash, and once Rabbi Cohen is going to take care of it. So he does one after the other after the other. So that's chavilas chavilas. But if you have one comes to one coin and one couple comes to the other coin, each one's doing, they happen both to be standing near each other, but each one's going to a different coin. So the Gemara says that's not a violation of Chavilos Chavilos. That's the Gemara. Here Rabbi Kiveger refers you to a Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham is in Mekuf Mem Zayin, is in Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah. So the Magen Avraham quotes that our practice, he quotes from the Masechet Sofrim like that, our practice is that when you have a day on which you learn from two Sifrei Torah, we take out both Sifrei Torah together, then you learn from one, you roll it up, and you learn from the second one. So he asked, isn't that Chavilos Chavilos? You should take out one, then when you finish, you put it back and take out the other one. You take out two, Vasachas, you're lining up the mitzvahs to do their mass production. That could be, okay. Could be that he does Tircha de Tzibura. So the Magen Avraham wants the answer based on our Gemara. He says, true, Rashi says, one way, which direction is it muta, which direction is it asa? So Rashi says, if you have the koyin echad, one koyin, all the couples are going to be standing in line, and one koyin is going to knock off one after the other after the other. The same person is going to do mass production. So that's chavilus chavilus. But you have shnei kohanim, so it's not that two soitas are waiting in line to be taken care of one after the other. Each one has their own group. This kohen is going to take care of this couple. He's going to take care of that couple. So the Magen Avraham suggests maybe the Rambam learns Pshat Fakert from Rashi. What did the Rambam do? The Rambam didn't do anything. He said maybe the Rambam learns Pshat the opposite. Maybe other Rishonim learn not like Rashi, that it's Fakert, that it's B'Kohen Echad, then it's Muta B'Shnei Kohanim and it's Aser. And when we take out the Sefer Torah, it's like B'Kohen Echad. If the same group is lining up two Sefer Torah, that would be Muta. Why should it be Muta? The Pashup Pshat is like Rashi. It should be a problem. Maybe the Torah should be Tichud de Tzibur. But that's the kasha that he raises. And his suggestion is that maybe we rely on some Rishonim. He has an imagination. Maybe he thinks that some Rishonim learn Pshat and Gemara, Pung Fakir from Rashi. Yeah. That's problematic. This, we left out a few lines in the Gemara. Yeah, we left out a few lines. I skipped it. The Gemara says, who is the anonymous Tanakama? So Gemara says, V'Tanakama Haksiv Oysa, where it says, Bamidbahe, in the Torah Or. Gemara says, V'Tanakama Haksiv Oysa, why does the Tanakama have to give a reason? Shiloyeh Liba Gaspachavata, Rabbi says very well, it's a pasuk. Why does Tanakama have to give a reason why? And for the Gemara, Tanakama, Rab Shimon, he did Dorish time of the Kru. Matam Kama, Matam Oysa Levada. That's a big machlekes Reb Shimon and the Chachamim on the side of the Gemara. They tell you to look in Kiddushin and Sanhedrin and other mesichtes. That's a machlekes Reb Shimon by Yichoi and the Chachamim. Reb Shimon, but the original Mishnah is in Bava Metzia, that it says in the Chumash, "Lasachvel beged almana." If you lend money to an almana, so you can ask her for jewelry as a mashkin. I lend her $5,000, so she may never be able to pay back. So I want to lend her the money if she gives me a mashkin. So what if I want to take her as a mashkin, a beged? So the pasuk says you're not allowed to. L'sachvel beged amon. So the Gemara is trying to figure out what kind of a din is that. Jewelry you may take, and furniture you may take. What's up is different. Manishtan, a beged. So the Gemara puts two and two together. The Gemara says, must be, the reason is the following. That it says in the Torah that if you the malva has as a mashkin a beged, a ksus yom, and the loiva needs it by yom, so you have to return the ksus yom by yom. And if you have as a mashkin a ksus laila, pajamas, and the loiva needs it at night, so you have to give back the ksus laila by laila. So the pasuk is probably, the original pasuk means, if the almana is an aniya, almana, she doesn't have any money, she probably only has one pair of pajamas and one dress to wear in the daytime, so the man who's going to lend her the money, he's going to insist he wants a mashkin. So at nighttime, she's going to call him up. She says, I need my pajamas to go to sleep. So he says, well, I want you to give me a mashkin to keep at night. So she's going to, so he'll come ring her bell, and she's going to take off her dress that she was wearing all day long. She'll be standing behind the door, and he'll be standing outside, and she'll give him the dress, and he'll give it back the pajamas. Then in the morning, she's going to call him up. She says, I need my dress. I have to go to work. I have to make some money. So he'll say, well, I want the pajamas as a mashkin. She has to undress behind the door, take off the pajamas, and pass it through outside. The malva is standing outside. So every morning he's going to be giving her a dress and walking off with pajamas. And every night he's going to be giving her pajamas and walking off with a dress. And she goes to sleep at 12 o'clock. So he's going to be walking away. He's going to walk pajamas to her house and walk away with a dress. And every morning he's going to walk with a dress and walk away with pajamas. So what are the neighbors going to say? That the rich man is taking advantage of the almana. He's having an affair with the almana. So Shiloh, the Gemara says, not to be masiyah shem rab b'shcheinu seho. That's probably the reason for the pasuk. It doesn't say in the Chumash the reason, but the Gemara is guessing that's probably the reason for the pasuk. So all the Tanoim agree, Dashin and Taimed Ikra. All the Tanoim agree that part of Liman HaTorah is to try to understand what moral, ethical, or religious principle is the Torah trying to teach us over here. The Torah is trying to teach us not to be, even though it's Dini Mamanis, money is money, but you shouldn't call someone else Shem Rabbi Shcheneseh. That's the moral, ethical principle. But the Shaila is that from the Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes Bahem? So Rab Shimon, the Tana Rab Shimon Baichai, is of the opinion that this is from the Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes Bahem. This regulates the application of the mitzvah. Whenever the reason applies, the mitzvah applies. Whenever the reason doesn't apply, so the mitzvah doesn't apply. So if the woman is an almana ashira, let's say it's Mrs. Macy's and Mrs. Gimbel's, and I lend her $5 million for business, she's going to give me 25 racks of dresses from the store. She doesn't wear those dresses. That's a beged almana. But she's an almana ashira. She has another 20,000 dresses in her home. This is from the business. Reb Shimon holds that that's mutter. But Safa beged almana is only if she's an almana aniya. She's an almana ashira, so the whole reason doesn't apply. The din doesn't apply. And the Chachamim disagree. Darshin and Taimed Ikra, they all agree. You try to ascertain the moral, ethical, religious idea that the Chumash is trying to teach us. But that idea is not from the Midrash HaTorah and Drasha. It's not Darshinan. It's not a Drasha that should regulate the application of the mitzvah. The mitzvah applies even if the reason doesn't apply. The Chachamim are in agreement with Rav Shimon. If the Chumash says it didn't, then it says the reason right away. So then they agree. It says in the Chumash the reason whenever the reason doesn't apply. So the din doesn't apply. But if the Chumash doesn't say the reason, you're figuring out the reason on your own. So true, that's a chelik of Talmud Torah, to try to figure out reasons for all of the mitzvahs. The Sefer Achinach has, the Rambam and the Mor Nebuchim has, the end of the Mor Nebuchim. Right? He was wrong. Yeah, but there the Torah says the reason. Torah says the reason there.
And nevertheless, we shouldn't do it. I mean, we shouldn't. He had no right to do it anyhow.
Okay. He decided that the reason doesn't apply to him. He should have asked rabbis. They would have said the reason does apply to you. He paskin wrong. He figured, I'm so brilliant. So even though
well,
the Torah.
It's like what you just said with she owned the dress store. So it doesn't apply.
So right. That all the Tanaim agree that the reason doesn't apply there. But if they would ask if Shlomo HaMelech.
But if Shimon paskin, if she owned the dress store, he's allowed to take that as a lashon.
Correct.
Because the reason doesn't apply.
Because he asked all the rabbis will say the reason doesn't apply. But if he asked all the rabbis, is Shlomo HaMelech allowed to take more than the maximum number of wives? They'll say not allowed to. He says not allowed. He decided on his own. I'm such a genius. The reason doesn't apply to me. So if he would have asked the rabbis, they would have told him the reason does apply to you.
So why did the Torah give a reason?
The Torah wants you to know the reason.
That's what Shlomo HaMelech
said. Even
a
not.
The
Rabbanan also agreed the reason for a reason, but they hold the reason applies to Shlomo HaMelech also. He shouldn't have decided on his own so quickly that the reason doesn't apply to him. Yeah. So the that's a Tesis in Gittin points that out. That all the Tanaim agree that we always try to figure out the reasons for the mitzvahs. The Gemara has in Bava Kama, why is it that the Ganav pays kefil and the Gazlan does not pay kefil? Why is the Ganav a bigger sinner than the Gazlan? And how come Chamisha Bokishan Tachas Hashar Barbatsan Tachas Hatzeh? The Gemara has a lot of time of the Kru. And the Ramam and the Mor Nebuchim and the Sefer Achinach and the Arizal and in all the generations, the Rishonim, Achronim, everybody gives Chassidish Rebbes, everybody gives reasons for mitzvahs. That's part of Limud HaTorah, to try to understand what moral, ethical, religious principle is the Torah driving at. But here's a different Machlokes HaTanaim, whether that reason that doesn't say in the Chumash, that reason that you're saying on your own, is that like the Midrash HaTorah and the Resh HaShem, that should regulate the application of the Din? So that's what the Gemara says. It's Machlokes HaShem and the Rabbanan. My Benayu. Has to be my Benayu. If there's no Nafkamina La'aloche, so there's no Machlokes HaShem and the Rabbanan. They all agree Darshin and Time Nikruah. The only time there's a machlekes is if there's a mai benai, if there's a difference, halacha lamais. So the Gemara gives you what the difference is.
I can understand one kohen doing two sotas, or two mitzvahs, or two avodim. How do you do egel arufa? If it's two different towns, it's two different groups of people.
Right.
That's not chavilos chavilos.
No, two different people have to pay. The community that's chayiv, the city that's chayiv to bring the egel arufa, has to fund it. They don't necessarily have to push it over the cliff. Or the Egel Arufa Banachal, they have to. No, I don't think so. They have someone kill it for them. They chop off the neck for them.
If two people get murdered in one town, you break two Egels?
Yeah. I think so. Yeah.
Those two wouldn't push over at the same time either?
Yeah, you would not. The Gemara says that's Chavilos Chavilos. Right. The Gemara in Psochem, one of the sources it says on the side is Psochem Dav Kuv Beis on the base. The Gemara in Psochem says it's not proper. We have an institution Bichas Hamozon Alakos. We have an institution of the Havdol Alakos. So the Gemara says, let's say it's the end of Shabbos and everybody just finished Halushudas and you're going to bench Alakos. Then right after the bench you're going to say Havdolah. Then you're going to say Bor Piagof and drink the Kos. You're going to kill two birds with one stone. This is going to be the one Kos for the Birchas HaMazon and for the Havdalah. So we do it all the time. We do it all the time. The person says Birchas HaMazon ala kos by Shalosh Shuli, doesn't drink it, then they say Havdalah, then they drink it. So the Gemara says that's a violation of Chavilas Chavilas. You're not allowed to do that. That's a different thing. The Gemara says that the matzah that they put away for the Eruvei Chatzeres, they used to use for Lechem Mishnah. The Gemara has that. Or now, let's say people put away a matzah for Erev Tavshilin. So just like the Gemara said, Erev Chatzera, same thing by us, Erev Tavshilin. The matzah that they put away, see, by us, when we make an Erev Chatzera, we leave it for the whole year long. So we're not going to eat up that matzah with Lecha Mishnah. But the matzah that you make for Erev Tavshilin is just for this Shabbos. Then next Yantar we're going to have to make a new Erev Tavshilin. We're not going to save this matzah for next Yantar. So that's why they recommend, the Maharil recommends to follow that Gemara. The matzah that you use for the Erev Chatzeres, you should use yet. So that's apparently, that's not Chavilas Chavilas. The Erev Tavshilin was made on Erev Yantav, and the Lech Mishnah is Friday night. That's a day later. Since I used it for one mitzvah, Levile Mitzvah Achrina. But here we're talking to line them up one after the other. It looks like I'm trying to get rid of all the mitzvahs. I want to lead my life. So I want to make the Rabbanu Shalom happy. I want to do all the mitzvahs that he asked me to do. 1, 2, 3, and showing. And now I'm free to do what I want. Right. So the Gemara raises that question in Brach. In Brach is Daf Memtes. The Gemara says Kiddush and Havdalah are both connected. They're both related. The Bakdusha Sayon. So that's okay. But two things that are unrelated, like benching and benching and Havdalah. So the Gemara said that's not right. Under the chuppah, we have Birchas Eris and Alakos, then you have Birchas Nisu and Alakos. So that's what Tosfos says. You should really have two different cases. So that's what we always do. You say Birchas Eris, and the Chosn takes a sip, Kala takes a sip, and he says, Hariat Mukudashusli. And then you fill it up with a little more. Well, years ago, they didn't have wine to throw out. Now they have two cups of wine, two separate cups of wine. That's not what Tosfos said. Tosfos says, you have one cup of wine. You take a sip to chasm the kala, then you put it down, and you say hariat mukudashusli. Then you pour in a little more wine. So that's already a second kos. It would be a violation of chavilas chavilas if they would say birchas seris and birchas nisuin, then drink it, and then say hariat mukudashusli. That would be chavilas chavilas. He's saying two different. When you say all the seven brachas ala kos, that's not a violation of chavilas chavilas. That's one unit. The seven brachas ala kos, like benching ala kos. The benching consists of four brachas, azanas akola, nodelucha, rachem, and antoiv ametiv. So you need four different cups. You don't need four cups of wine. If you want to, you can have four cups of wine, nishgefelach. But the Gemara has that in Beis Ha'ovel, when they came back from the cemetery, they used to have the Sudas Avroa. So in the days of the Gemara, they used to give wine. Some of the Rishonim say that if you don't give wine, you're not yotze the Sudas Avroa. Some say it should be basavayayin, a Suda Hashuba basavayayin. And others are just insistent on the wine because the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that l'niver yayin el nachem bayis avelim. The Baruch Shalom made an institution of wine that the avelim who are a little anxious or whatever, they should drink away the sorrows a little bit. Not that they should get stone drunk, they should have a little bit of wine to lighten their aggravation. So that's what some of the Rishonim write. Agos Maimini quotes that it's not proper not to give wine in the Sudas Avroah. You should always give wine Sudas Avroah. So the Gemara says when they came back from the cemetery, they used to have the Sudas Avroah. And then they used to give four cups of wine. Azonas HaKol, there was one cup of wine. Noidelucha was the second cup. He's not going to get drunk, the Oval. And the Oval drank the wine. The Gemara in the first Perek in Ksubas has like that. So if you want to, whenever you bench alakos, you can always have four cups of wine if you want to, but it's not necessary, because the whole benching is one unit. That's not a violation of chavilas chavilas. But Tosfos has a suffix, Tosfos has a machlokes in the end of Pesachim. What about benching in Sheva Brachas? Let's say when you have a Sheva Brachas, so you bench alakos. Shalosh Shudas and Havdalah is a problem. The way we do it is a problem. More correct would have been that right after the Shalosh Shudas, they should say benching, and then you say Bar Piagof, and then you drink the wine. The Magen Avraham says, right. So the din is you're not allowed to eat or drink before Havdalah, only water. You're not benching on a cup of water, you're benching on a cup of wine. So you're not allowed to eat or drink before Havdalah. So the Magen Avraham says, Mikared din, you're permitted to drink the wine that over which you recited the Birchas Hamazon, because that belongs to the Shalosh Shudas. You benched alakos, and the drinking of the wine still belongs to the Shalosh Shudas. There's one opinion in the Rishonim that after you drink in the middle of the week, when you bench alakos, you have to say ala gefen v'pri gefen at the end. So some of the Rishonim say, no, it's covered with the benching. It's covered with, I already said benching before. So since the cup of wine belongs to the meal, so the drinking of the wine is covered with the bench. We don't follow that opinion, but the Magen Avraham says, still, it's not really a violation of eating or drinking before Havdalah, because it's a hemshech of the shalosh udus. So he says, Mikra din is really mutter to drink the wine. But we don't drink it because all week long we are in the practice of benching mizumin without a kos. So we demonstrate that benching doesn't require a kos, even when you bench mizumin. So it's not right. He says it's not right that on Shabbos we should drink the cup of wine and say it's still a hemshech, it belongs to shalosh udus, because all week long we bench bimzumin shaloi al kos. So we demonstrate that the drinking of the kos isn't really part of the benching. We always do by Sheva Brochus, yeah. So that's why if you have a Sheva Brochus by shalosh udus and then finish late, so the kos of Sheva Brochus for sure you drink. Because we always benching a lot of times.
What do you do with Sheva Brochus on Pesach night?
There's a discussion in Shulchan Aruch. It's also lohosif ala kosis. That's why it's a problem. You're not allowed to have more than arba kosis. So what are you going to do with the Sheva Brochus? So the Achrayim talk about it. Every so often, every Pesach, someone does get married within the last few days before Pesach. Yeah. Yes.
Not yain out of the place in time that a person is older. Is not out of place yain shat adam is older.
Oinen before the kvura. The oinen before the kvura is not permitted to eat bas of a yain. But after the kvura, in the middle of Shiva, Adarabba. No, but it says in the Gemara, he's supposed to drink wine. We encourage the Oval to drink a little wine. And that's what I said. Some of the Rishonim say that if the neighbors are not Yotze, the mitzvah of Sudas Avraham, unless they give Yayin. Some say it should be Basa V'Yayin, Sudah Hashuvah. And even those who don't insist on the Basar, but the yain they do insist on. That's the thing. Well, the nivra yain ela the nachem bayis avim. Yain is important. Yeah.
Under the kippah, would just the fact that we read the kippah in between, would that make it take away the kibbutz sevilos?
If you take a sip of the wine, it's already not chavir. When you say bichas eris, and you take a sip of the wine, and then you pour in another couple of drops, so that's already not chavilos. You drank the wine.
What did we say about sherei brachos? What happened? The sherei brachos was a shabbos.
Normal shalosh shudis, so the Magen Avraham says, if all week long we usually bench shalosh ala kos, so we demonstrate that you don't need a kos for brichas hamazon. So he says, so it's not right to drink the wine after shalosh shudis if it's ready after the shkia, because we demonstrate by our actions, we show that it's not part of the meal. But sheva brachas, we always say over a cup of wine. Even a weekday, we always have sheva brachas over a cup of wine. So when you bench on shalosh shudis, it depends when did they get married. If they got married on Sunday and the last day of Shiva is Hamishta Shabbos, and then when it comes Shkia, that's the end. So you don't have any more Sheva Brachas. So if Shabbos is the last day of Shiva is Hamishta, then they should not say Sheva Brachas after the Shkia. They should bench before the Shkia. But if Sunday was not the first day of the Shiva is Hamishta, and Matzoi Shabbos is still in the middle of Shiva is Hamishta, but it's just a Shiloh drinking before Havdalah, so this we always do. Whenever we have Sheva Brachas, we always have a cup of wine. So you can't say, all week long we say Sheva Brachas without a cup of wine, so now, what do you mean? We always have, whenever we have a Sheva Brachas, we always have. So then you're allowed to drink it before Havdalah, because this belongs to the meal. This is a Hemshech of the meal. That's what the Paschim say. When you have a Sheva Brachas by Shalosh Udus, that cup you're allowed to drink for sure.
Does everybody drink, or just
the Paschim Kala? The Minig is the Chasen Kala drink. Because when you have a Sheva Brachas, the one who always drinks is the Chasen Kala. The one who's saying the benching doesn't always drink the wine, but the Chasen Kala always drink. So the meaning is you let them drink the wine.
But Avilas Tavilas is only if you're doing the same mitzvah two times, then does it ever apply when you're doing two different mitzvahs?
Yeah, here you're killing two birds with one stone. I'm saying benching and a Havdalah over one cup of wine. Or let's say there's a Chasen at Matzoi Shabbos. Then we say Havdalah, and then we say the Birchas Harrison over the same cup of wine, and we don't drink in between. If you say Havdalah first and you drink the wine, then you have a little wine left over, then you fill it up a little bit, you say the Brach under the Chuppah. So that had a cup of wine, this has a cup of wine, just because you use the same wine. That's not a violation of Chavilas Chavilas. But if you didn't drink the wine in between, you said Havdalah, and then you say the Brach under the Chuppah for the Chasen Kala, that's a violation of Chavilas Chavilas. You're doing two mitzvahs with one cup of wine. Or the Gemara in Brachas has.
You don't usually bench with a mizumin with a kos, but if he goes to bench with a kos, doesn't usually
Yes.
So then the Tzoy Shabbos and the bench with a kos, but every bench with a kos, he always drinks.
No, that's avada. But since very often the Magen Avraham argues, since very often we will bench without a kos, so we demonstrate that the kos is not really an integral part of the meal. Baharaya, that a lot of times we'll bench and we don't have a kos at all. So even though now we're having a kos, so the drinking is considered drinking before Havdalah. It's not considered a hemshech of the meal. That's the chumra, the Magen Avraham. The Gemara in Brachas on Memtes has such a similar din. Let's say a person comes late to the minyan and he wants to abridge all the Bichas HaShachar, all the 14, 15 Bichas HaShachar. So he says, Baruch Ato Hashem, Lakenim Al Choylam, and Oysan Asech Min Lahat Chami Yom, and Loilo Shlos, and Igoi Shlos, and Yovi Shlos, and Isha, Pekeh Chivim, Mal Bisharunim, and Matir Asurim, and so on. So he's a Yotze, all, is that permissible or not? So the Gemara says, no, Ein Chos Min Bishtayim. Each Baruch has to have its own Shem and Malchus. And the Gemara says that that's a violation of Chavilos Chavilos. You're trying to be Yotze 15 Brachas, all squeezed into one bracha. So the Gemara says it's not permissible. The Gemara doesn't say what's the din b'di'evit if you went ahead and you did it. So the Gemara doesn't say this, and the Magen Avraham says. So the Magen Avraham says you're not Yotze all 15. Whatever you said first, so that bracha you're Yotze, Shlos HaNegoi, Shlos HaNegoi, from there on you're not Yotze. You're only Yotze the first. That's the din of Chavilos Chavilos. Yeah.
In some situations where they have chasanim, where one rav performs one chasan after another, I mean, sometimes you know, after the Holocaust or the Horasha, whatever it is, make sure they've got Chuba Kedushin. But if, you know, sometimes you have, like, you know, you hear about what Lubavitch goes and then they get 20, 30 couples and they, one, you know, one after another. Isn't that Chavilos Chavilos also?
I mean, you line them up to have one after the other. Yeah, that is a problem. Unless each one is going to have a different rabbi, different Masada Kiddushin. That's like Shnei Kohanim.
Right.
But if it's Kohen Echad, the same rabbi, then it's not right.
You have a bris with twins,
if you have
two different
Amolim
together?
No.
That's a machlekes. That's a big machlekes in the Shulchan Aruch, whether you should say one bracha and the Amol should do the both brisen, not to be marbe bebrachas, or should you have, each one should have its own set of brachas. Yeah, that's a big machlokes. Is that a violation of chavilos chavilos or not? So most have the practice that you do one bris and then you have hafsoke, they have something to eat, or they have someone says a dvar Torah, and then after 15-20 minutes then you do the second bris. And others insist no, you have to do them both with one bracha, that you're garen bracha shenet tzvicha, since you could have covered both. It's like talking in between Shal Yad and Shal Rosh. I want to put on Shal Yad and Shal Rosh. Here I have twins. What do you want? I have to do two brisen. I want to do both brisen. So why should I be marbe bebrach? It's like talking in between Shal Yad and Shal Rosh. It's garen bracha shein etzricha. It's an isa derabon. It's not a bracha levatola. If you talk in between Shal Yad and Shal Rosh, then the din requires you have to say a bracha. But why should you talk in order to require a bracha? Don't talk and you won't require the extra bracha. So here also others hold that it's not permissible to be mopsik in between. You should cut. You're mechuyev to do both bris. So there's no violation of chavilos. They hold there's no violation of chavilos chavilos. You're mechuyev to do both. That's an ongoing debate. What should you do? Probably. He was born. Whoever was born first, he became mechuyev to be mal him first. Okay.
Before you do
the bris on the first one, you have a chiyuv. After the first one has a bris, you have a chiyuv
for the second one.
Okay.
It's not one after the other, but there shouldn't be a reason why you can't wait to make a bracha again on the second one.
Why? But if I cover both with one bracha, so why should I say two brachas? I was mechuyev to do the both brisin. I'm the father, so I'm mechuyev to do both of the brisin. So why shouldn't I cover both with one bracha? It's garen bracha shen and tzvicha. That's the machlokes. Which way is preferable?
So, why does it matter who is a human who called their shouldness be? Like, let's say one is in Long Island, the other one is in New Jersey. It becomes.
I mean, 1 mile.
Starts in Long Island before it's in New Jersey. Shouldn't he be the one that should go first?
The question is, when is the chi of milachal? Is the chi milachal the minute the baby is born, but it won't be kosher if you do a toch shmeina, like pidyon aben. When is the chi of pidyon aben chal? You can't do pidyon aben before the yom lamed aleph. You have to wait till the 31st day. So it does mean the chiyuv to give pinyan ben is chal on the 31st day. But you say, no, the chiyuv is chal when the baby is born. But you can't be mekayim the mitzvah till the 31st day. It'll make a major nafkemina by pinyan ben. How much money do you have to give? So for pinyan ben purposes, we usually assume you have to give the value of 100 grams of pure silver. Mikra read 96 grams, and the meaning is you give 100 grams to round it out. So what if the value of 100 grams of pure silver on the day the baby was born was so much, and 31 days later is much more or much less? So how much do you have to give? The Gemara says once it's established how much you have to give, so then it doesn't change. The value doesn't change. Whatever the amount was in dollars and cents on the day you have to give, so that amount stays the same. So on which day do you determine? So that's a big question. The Netziv talks about that. So there's such a similar shaila regarding bris milah. When is the chiyuv bris milah chal? Is the chiyuv bris milah chal the moment the baby boy is born? But you can't be mekayim. There's man kima mitzvahs on the eighth day in the daytime. But you say no, the chiyuv bris milah is not chal till the eighth day. So Rav Velvela Soloveitchik claims that this is a discussion in the Gemara and Yevamos. The Gemara has a din. The pasuk has a din. A kohen who's an orel is not permitted to eat truma. A kohen who's an oral, let's say you have shem and shel truma. Kohen who's an oral, not permitted to shmir shem and shel truma on his body. So let's say you have a little tiny baby, the father's a kohen and the baby is a kohen. So the baby is a cotton oral, he didn't yet live to the eighth day. He's only 3 days old. Is the mother permitted to shmir trumadika oil on the baby? The mother's probably going to be a tumas yoledes, so she's a tmeya. She can't go to mikveh till after the 7 days are up. So the mother can't shmir the baby anyway. The baby's probably going to be tummy anyway because he touched the mother. When he was born, the mother was touching him. So it's a funny case, a rare case. The mother gave birth to the baby, and then they were toivel the baby, and the baby's not touching the mother. The mother's not touching the baby, the baby's not touching the mother. So they were toivel the baby, and he's tohar. Okay, C-section, okay, whatever. And so we want to know, are we permitted to shmir and the baby is an oral? Is he called an oral or not? So Rav Velvela Soloveitchik claims that that's the suffix. Is the chi of bris milah chal when the baby is born, then the kid is an oral. But if the chi of bris milah is not chal till the eighth day, then you can't consider him an oral.
What is he?
So the Gemara in Yevamos has a suffix, perika oral. The Gemara in perika oral has a suffix. All the Rishonim quote the Talmud Yerushalmi comes to the conclusion. The Bavli doesn't have a conclusion. So all the Rishonim quote the Talmud Yerushalmi comes to the conclusion he is not an oral. So Rav Velvela Soloveitchik says that's the reason why, because the Chiyuv Milah is not Chal till the eighth day. So if the Chiyuv Milah is not Chal till the eighth day, so one was born a few minutes before the other, but the Chiyuv Milah is Chal on both of them simultaneously then. If you would say the other way, that the chiyuv milah is chal when the baby is born. So whoever is born first, the chiyuv milah was chal first. So when I have to do two mitzvahs, so the Gemara in the end of Psachim, the last parak Psachim, has rules and regulations. When you have to do two mitzvahs, should you do mitzvah A first and then B, or should you do first B and then A? So if you have tadir, v'sheina tadir, tadir kodim. If you have mekudish, v'sheina mekudish, one mitzvah is more important than the other, and mekudish is kodim. Then the Gemara has additional rules. So one of the additional rules is, if I became obligated to fulfill one mitzvah before the other mitzvah, so you should fulfill the two mitzvahs in the order in which you became obligated. That's one of the rules that the Gemara throws in. So if the din
comes up when if the bris was postponed for a reason.
Okay.
Then you both now you come Sunday and they're both now going to be eligible, but this one should have been done yet a week before. Who gets the first priority?
Right. So the minhag olam is. So the main golem is that you do the. Which one do you do first? You do the. Huh? I think the meaning is you do the Mila Bizmana first.
Yeah.
And then you. Why? That's what Reb Shlomo Eger quotes on the Yeridah. Why? Because the Mila Bizmana is a mitzvah Bishleimusa. Mila Shlomo Bizmana is a mitzvah Shalom Bishleimusa. Because only Mila Bizmana is Decha Shabbos. That's a mitzvah Bishleimusa. Mila Shlomo Bizmana is a mitzvah Shalom Bishleimusa. So that's like Mekudish, Ve'ena Mekudish. One mitzvah is more Bishlei Musa than the other.
But the had all day to do it. You don't have to do it right away. You have a whole day. Shalai Bismah, you have to do it immediately.
So that was the Chiddush of the Dvar Avraham. Right. The Kavna Rav had that Chiddush in his first volume. He thought the opposite. The Minhag Olam is that you do the Mila Bismah first. He thought that it's incorrect. He thought that whenever the bris is being postponed, you have to do it at the earliest available opportunity that minute. You can't even wait till another hour. If it's a mila bismana, you have all day long. It's mila bismana. It's only zviz magdim la mitzvahs to do it earlier. So that's what he wrote in his first sefer. And then all the rabbanim sent the letters, they all disagreed. So in the second volume of the Dvar Avraham, he has several letters defending what he wrote in the first sefer and insisting that he's right. But the Chazon Ish said the Minhag HaOlam is not like the Dvar Avraham. Minhag HaOlam is like it says Rav Shlomo Eger quotes from the Achronim, that you first do the Mila Bizmana, then you do the Mila Shel Bizmana. We don't really follow that opinion that you shouldn't postpone to a later day. That's what the Nodi Behuda says like that. A lot of people feel once they have already postponed the bris, they may as well save it till Sunday so more people will attend. So they used to have a practice in the days of the Nodi Behuda. No one ever wanted to fast on Tainus Bcheris, on Erev Pesach. So they would always postpone a bris. They would always wait. The baby that didn't have the bris on Shmini, the bris was postponed anyway, so they would save that bris till Erev Pesach, and that would be the Sudas Mitzvah, so the Bcheris wouldn't have to fast. So Nadi Behuda has a short shuvah. He says he thinks that that's not proper for two reasons. He says, first of all, he thinks he's not sure. He thinks that it's not permissible to postpone an additional day. You tell me you're not allowed to postpone an additional minute. That was the chiddush of the Kavna Rav. But in Nadi Behuda was before the Kavna Rav. He thought a chiddush, you're not allowed to postpone an additional day unnecessarily. And then he said, number two, he's not so convinced that the Bechorim are permitted to eat if it's a Suras Mitzvah, but if it's a Mila Shalai Bizmana, it's a weaker Suras Mitzvah. If it's a Mila Bizmana, so the Mitzvah is more Bishlai Musa, so the Suras Mitzvah is a 100% bona fide Suras Mitzvah. If the Mila Shalai Bizmana, he says, how do we know that even that Suras Mitzvah is also sufficient to permit the Bechorim to eat on a Tainus Bechorim? So he said, so they didn't know. We do an easy solution. Make a Siyam Asichta. We solved, the Jewish people solved all the problems. We sell Eretz Yisrael to the Arabs and we do whatever we want in Shemitah and sell the business to the Goyim. We run the business as usual on Shabbos. We have Shabbos clocks. We violate Kol HaTorah Kula. We have solutions to all the problems. There's not a Behuda. They didn't figure out all the problems yet. When does the obligation set in? The Nitziv claims that this is doesn't necessarily have to be the same as the Yorl. The Yorl, that's Rav Dovla Soloveitchik, interprets that was the question in the Gemara, and he claims that the answer given by the Yerushalmi, that the Kot Noral Mutal L'Sucha Shem Mishal Truma, the answer is that the obligation to perform the bris is M'chal Tili Yeftek. That's his interpretation. And by Pidyon HaBen, it's not necessarily Toli Zebzeh. Could be by Pidyon HaBen, it's not so. So the Nitziv in his Shiurim, the Nitziv was the Rosh Yeshiva and Balozhin the last 49 years. Balozhin Yeshiva lasted 90 years. So he was the Rosh Yeshiva the last 39 years till they closed it. It was opened in 1801 and lasted till 1891, 92, something like that. So in his Sefer, his Shiurim that he gave in Balozhin, he wants to interpret that that's a discussion in the Gemara, that it's not clear when the Chiyah Pidyon HaBen is Chal. Okay, here the Gemara is going to continue to comment. So this din, Einos and Mitzvahs Chavilos Chavilos, is a general din. It appears in other Gemaras also. Not to say Ein Chos Ben Bishtayim, not to say Baruch Ator Hashem Elkeinu Melech HaOlam, and to cover a lot of themes in one bracha. And if you did B'dieved, the Mogen Avraham says you're not Yotzi, only Yotzi the first one. Unless it's Kiddush and Avdala, that those blend in together. They're connected, they're related. Right. The Gemara asks, how come over there? So the Gemara says Chodehi. So that's a machlokes in the Rishonim how to interpret Chodehi. What does it mean? It means that Kedusha Shabbos and Kedusha Siyanta blend in to constitute one hyphenated Kedusha Sayyim, or it means no, they're connected, they're related. If they're related, so it's already not a violation of Chavilos Chavilos. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that that's a machlokes in Rishonim, whether when Yontav Chali is B'Shabbos, do the two Kedusha Sayyim blend in to be one? Or do you assume that it's one Kedushas Hayam superimposed on top of the other?
Here, the bracha is a shevach for Kedush Baruch Hu. The zelba shevach are two different things. It's one shevach, Mekadosh Shabbos,
Vahazmanim. Yeah.
So it's one inyan of Meshabeach Hashem. It's not two different things.
Well, all the brachas are Meshabeach Hashem, but still, you can't say Shalos Ani Goy, Shalos Ani Yov, Shalos Ani Isha. That's supposed to be three different things. Supposed to say them independently. So how come over here you do say it together? So Mekadosh is Rav Hazmanim, the Gemara says that's okay. That's not a violation of Echaisim and Mishnayim, because what it means in Mekadosh is Rav, the Mekadoshil Hazman. The theme of praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He gave us Kedusha, and the Kedusha that He gave us the ability to create Kedusha Siyantiv. When we say Mekadosh HaShabbos V'Yisrael HaZmanim, that's really two different things. Mekadosh HaShabbos V'Yisrael HaZmanim. So how come that's permissible? So the Gemara says Chodehi. So in that answer, Chodehi, that's in Brachas Memtes. So there, the Rishonim on the side of the Rif, the tiny letters on the side of the Rif, they have two interpretations. Either that the two Kedushas, Shabbos and Yontif, blend in together to become one Kedushas Hayayim, or no, they don't blend in. It's one superimposed on the other. But since they're related, so the themes are related, so it's not the violation.
So Rabbi, two Sifrei Torah and such a Shabbos Yontif should be a problem. One Sifrei to read for Shabbos, one Sifrei to read the Haftorah for the Maftar for the Yontif. So I'm taking out two separate torches to be kind of two different seeds. If I say the two separate...
But I'm lining them up, one after the other, to save time, like
using,
over here.
I'm not using one, I'm using two separate. It's Sivri to read from Shabbos, I take one separate torch. Then I have a Sivri to read from Yom.
So that's the Magen Avraham's kasha. Shouldn't you take out one sefer Torah, put it back? Mm-hmm. If you take out both together, that shows you're trying to save time, you're trying to get rid of the mitzvahs. Quickly, you want to get rid of it. It's a, oh.
Even though the lighting is indifferent, it's indifferent.
Yes, that's his problem.
So
take one out at a time, take one out and finish and put it back, then take out another one. So maybe the answer should have been Tirchadit Zibur, but he doesn't say that answer. Maybe that's the correct answer.
Why are we concerned when you make an alamif? You say it's alapeiras, alamif, alapol, alagethan, alapir, so we're doing more than one thing. Make separate brothers.
I mean, if you had cake and you had wine, why do you combine together? I don't know. Yeah. Interesting question.
It's all part of also one Indian. It's one kid.
Food, yeah.
It's one
Indian. Food, you ate food? I guess so.
Kids walk in soup.
Yeah. Like if a person eats a whole meal, so you say benching at the end. So you say one bench. Yeah. See, here the... Here the Mishnah describes the whole Seder Hadvarim. So the Mishnah says on Zayin Amud Aleph towards the bottom, the kohen is zeches bibigodeha. The kohen has to tear the woman's clothing to be mevazah her, and then v'soser esayra, if she has a fancy hairdo, so he should take it apart. So the Gemara wants to know, where does it say? It says in Chumash Mefaras Rosh Ha'isha. Where does it say that he rips her begadim? That's not mentioned in the Chumash at all. So the Gemara asks, Anches HaManal, V'akoyin Eches B'begadeo, what is the source for that? Tanu Rabbanu says in the Braisa, Mefaras Rosh Ha'isha, he should uncover the Rosh Ha'isha. He should tishter, if she has a fancy hairdo, he should take it apart. And the Ale Rosh Ha'isha. The Pasuk only says he should mess up her hair, to slap up her hair. Gufa minayin, how do you know he's mevazah her, that he tours her begodim? Tamalai maha isha. Fora, if she could say a foras rosha. We're talking about the isha saita. Could have said a foras rosha. Why does it say rosha isha? I mean, you're doing an act of bizayin to the head, to the hair, and you're doing an act of bizayin to the body of the woman. And came out tamalama foras rosha malamsha. So why does it say a foras rosha? You do two things. He has to slap up her hair, and he also has to tear her begodim. Both. Then the Mishnah has a machlekes hatanoim. Pardon me?
The Mishnah
says he tears her clothing. So the Gemara wants to know, where is the source in the Chumash? It only says it's Faras Rosh Ha'isha. So the Gemara says, because it could have been written Faras Rosh Ha. So the word Ha'isha means not only Yemavaza her fancy hairdo, Yemavaza the goof of the Isha. By tearing her begodim, yeah. That's what the Gemara in Ksubas understands, that you see from this pasuk that it's a bizoyan for a married woman not to have her hair covered. So foras rosha means he uncovers her hair. But
so
the Mishnah
she goes to the base of the Mishnah, she had to cover her hair. How do I know? Right? She came to
Okay. The Gemara learns it out from a book. The Gemara says that it's deraisa, that a married woman has to cover her hair. Some say that the word deraisa doesn't mean deraisa, it means it's a din derabbanan, but it's based on a pasuk. we know what the makor is. Once in a while, the Gemara calls something deraisa, even though it's not a din deraisa. It means we know what the makor is, what the asmacht is. So that's a question. In Shulchan Aruch, they assume that it's a real din deraisa. And others say no, it's only an asmacht. No, in the later, the recent Sfarim, they talk about it, whether it's really a din deraisa or din derabbanan. Rav Moshe Feinstein assumed that it's a real din deraisa, the poshut like the poskim assume. Rabbi Abramin was telling a fascinating story. Rabbi Abramin is an American, and before communism collapsed, the Rabbanut arranged that the yeshiva students and Rabbanim should go visit Russia for Yamim Tovim, and they would daven Ma'ariv in one shul, Shachris in another shul, Mincha in another shul, and they would tell them they should lay in and they should daven for Anomid to show that Judaism is thriving all over the world. They're the only ones that are being oppressed and they shouldn't give up on Yiddishkeit. Yiddishkeit, the people are learning and davening all over the world. So that was the Rabbanut sent the Bochum from yeshivas. A lot of boys from YU went at that time. And then there was some women's group from England that was sending people also. So Rabbi Abramin told us that he went twice. So he went with Abraham Lichtenstein's brother-in-law, I forgot his name. So he says, the first time he went, so they gave him a whole bunch of addresses. You go here and you give a shir on Parshas HaShavu. You go here, give a shir on Mishnayis. They told him exactly what. You go here, give a shir on Ksubas Dafayin Beis. Because the guy before you gave a shir on Ksubas Dafayin Aleph. So Ksubas Dafayin Beis happens to be about the married women covering the hair. So he gives a shir, he's reading the Gemara. And there's a group there of less than 10 people, men and women, that are listening to the shir. So and he says, the din is a married woman has to cover her hair. So the woman, one of the women asks a question, what if by covering her hair you're going to lose your job? So he says, he wasn't thinking. The woman is asking, halacha lemaisa. She's going to cover her, she's going to lose her job. So he wasn't thinking. So he says, oh, he thinks Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva. So he says, Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva. They never heard of Rav Moshe Feinstein. They never heard of him. They never heard of Rav Moshe Feinstein. So he says, Rav Moshe Feinstein is a rabbi in New York, wrote a tshuva that if the woman is married, it's a din deraisa, and he explained why it's a sofek. Is it a mitzvah? Is it an avera? Rashi has two pshatim there. Rav Moshe has a whole fantastic binyan. So if it's a mitzvah, so you're not mukhiv to lose your job to perform a mitzvah. If it's an avera, then you're mukhiv to avoid violation of the avera, even if it means you lose your job. Kol haim beisa. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says, if the woman is divorced, the covering hair is only mid rabbanon, then she's going to lose her job as sveka de rabbanon lekula. But if the woman is still married, so then it's a real din deraisa, and it's a suffix, so it's sveka deraisa, it tells the woman. So he comes back 2 years later with his partner, and he has the same address, and he has to give a shir on something else. He comes and he sees the woman has a gigantic babushka, and he's learning something else then. So he asks one of the people in the group, what's the story with that woman? So they said she was the head of obstetrics in the hospital. And the next day, she never heard of him, she never heard of Moshe Feinstein. The next day she came into the hospital with a big babushka, because the rabbi said she has to cover her even if she loses her job. They fired her on the spot, but because she was so good, so they maintain her to be the janitor in the hospital, and when there'd be a difficult delivery, she would come in, but she's not allowed to touch the patient because she's a janitor. So she would tell the doctor what to do. She would advise the doctor what to do. So Rabbi Abramin used to say, look at this. The woman never heard of me. She never heard of Moshe. She never saw the Gemara before, but because he told her that a speck of their eyes in the chumah, so the woman was Moshe Nefesh. She lost the job to observe the din. He told her it says in the Gemara like that. Men wearing a yarmulke, people are Moshe Nefesh on that. A man's not going to, he's going to wear a yarmulke. But Moshe has the first tshuva in Aruch Chaim. If it means he's going to lose a shtikl parnasa, not mechuyev to wear a yarmulke in the office. So men wearing the yarmulke, everybody's makbet about that. And the women covering the hair, that's a much more serious issue. So Rav Moshe understands the simple pshat nigmar, that it's a real din deraisa. And the Sifrei Deloshen and the Sifrei are not possible. Before it's Rosh Yisho, it says, afal pishen rai ledover, zecha ledover. So it sounds like it's only an asmacht. Afal pishen rai ledover, zecha ledover. So here the Gemara has a contradiction in Rav Yehuda. In our Mishnah, it says Rav Yehuda Omer, the second line from the bottom on Zayin Amud Aleph. Im hoya liba noya, you're going to rip her begodim. What if she's very attractive? With the torn begodim, she's going to be very attractive. Her body's going to be exposed, part of her body. So Rabbi Yehuda says, if she's very attractive with the torn begadim, then you don't tear the begadim. Lo hayah megalehu. If I taking apart her hair, she's going to be very. It's going to be very alluring. She's going to be very attractive. Lo hayah soisa. Then you don't observe the din that it says in Chumash. It says in the Chumash you have to take apart her hair, so you don't take it apart if it's gonna raise her hurim. And it's Rabbi Yehuda Aimer means he's disagreeing with the Tanakhama. Otherwise, it should say Om Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda Aimer means he's disagreeing with the Tanakhama. Freg the Gemara then in Sanhedrin. There's such a similar machloikis, and there the shitas of hakeret. Freg the Gemara, the last 15 lines on Chesam and Aleph. Lememra, you mean to say, the Rabbi Yehuda chayish lehir hura. Rabbi Yehuda is concerned about hirhur, so he says yesh kach biar chachamim lakadov men atar b'shev al tasi. Even though the Torah says you have to tear habgadim and you have to undo the hair, but if we're chayish for hirhur, then we don't do the mitzvah. We wouldn't recommend people should do averis for a reason, but recommend not to fulfill mitzvahs every so often we do. We don't allow you to blow shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos and so on. You don't put on tzitzis on a beggar shel pishtan. A lot of cases where we recommend people shouldn't fulfill mitzvahs. So if Yegemar, the Meimer, the Rabbi Yehuda Chayish Lehir Hura, Rabbi Yehuda considers, he's concerned about this, and he made a takana, the Rabbanan, not to fulfill the mitzvah. Rabbanan loy chayshi. Rabbanan say, you ignore the hiri, just do the mitzvahs, and you don't change anything. Freg digmar, vohipcha shamin alohu, ditanya, we have a din in skilo. Now, how often did they ever give skilo? Once in a yovel, once in 70 years, they gave skilo. So they're talking about theoretical things. No, no one ever got any skilo. So the shaila is, when you give a person skilo, do you take off their clothes, or do you have them wear clothing? So the din is based on a pasuk. Where's the pasuk? There's Rashi quoted. V'sakalta oso v'loksuso. So they understand from the pasuk that when you give a person skila, he's supposed to be undressed. He's supposed to not have any clothes on. But so the Mishnah says ha'ish. By a man who's getting skila, so you only cover up the eva ho erva in front of him. You don't have to cover over the back. For her isha, if a woman is getting skila, so we fulfill the pasuk v'sakalta oso shnei prokim achen mofana v'ach machra. If a woman gets skila, you have to cover up the front and the back of the erva. Why mifnei shekula erva? The whole thing is a problem. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. But the rest of her body is going to be totally exposed. And you fulfill the pasuk, you do the skila, and the person is mamash undressed. We don't observe the pasuk in Chumash. We don't do what it says in the Chumash. Why is Einu Isha Niskela Saruma? Isn't it a violation of the pasuk? So the answer is, yesh kach b'yar chachamim laka dominata. We don't fulfill the mitzvah the way we're supposed to because we're concerned about hirhura. So how come over here it's fakir? Here Rabbi Yehuda says we don't fulfill a pasuk when we're concerned about here, and the Rabbanan say don't be worried about here. Just observe what it says in the Chumash. And there it's fakir. There the Rabbanan are the ones who say ein isha niskelas aruma. The Gemara thought in the Kasha that it's because yesh kach biar chachamim lakadom benator b'shev yaltase. It's only made the Rabbanan benator, the man and the woman should be the same. It's only made the Rabbanan we tell you not to observe the din. And Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says just observe the din. Forget about Hirurim. So it's a contradiction. And for the Gemara, the answer is, what's your concern over here? Why does Rabbi Yehuda say we're afraid if the woman is very attractive, you're going to tear up Gadim, so there's going to be Hirur. So Rabbi says, we understand why. Why is Rabbi Yehuda concerned over here? We don't know. It's a 50-50 chance. She may survive, she may not survive the Isha Saita. So she may survive. And then all the younger Kohanim saw this attractive woman, so they may be Zgarba Pirchekuna, the young Kohanim whose beards are just beginning to grow. As if the older men don't have any Yetzirah. I don't know. So the Gemara is blaming the younger. The younger Kohanim are the ones that have the Yetzirah. Okay.
They're married. Young women are married.
Good. Yeah, okay. So we'll make believe the older people don't have any Yetzirah. Only the young boys have the Yetzirah. the single man. Yeah. So the Gemara says we're concerned. Rabbi Yehuda is concerned she may survive. But over there we're talking the woman is getting skila. So what kind of hero is there going to be? They're going to see a naked woman. So what? They see the naked woman. She's getting a death penalty. Hotsam over there, her mistalka. She's being removed from the world. That's the way we have the girsa. On the side they suggest that the correct reading should be hotsam mistaklo. She's getting skila. Mm-hmm. Same thing. She's getting skila. She's being removed from the world. So the Gemara says there, Rabbi Yehuda holds there's nothing to be concerned about here, because she's going to die. V'chitema asili garuye b'achren aisa. No, but once he's going to see this naked woman, so it's going to cause hirurim. So then he's going to chase after some other woman later on, because he built up in his mind a yetzar. The Gemara says no. We have a tradition. Hamar Rabba. We have a tradition. Gemiri. The tradition has ein yetzar shalat el b'mesh ein avrois. This woman, he saw her, there may be a Yetzirah Haba. Because he sees one woman, he's not going to carry it over to another woman. So the Gemara answered the contradiction in Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi answered the contradiction. Omar Rava, so Rava says, wait a minute. Abai and Rava were the next generation. Abaye and Rava were Chaverim, and Abai was the nephew of Rabbi. He was a Yosim who was brought up by his uncle, by Rabbi. So Rava, the Talmud says, what did you only farenfed Rabbi Yehuda? The Rabbi Yehuda kasha, the Rabbana Abana loy kasha. What, there's only a contradiction within Rabbi Yehuda, and there was a contradiction in the Rabbana also. You only answered one half of the kasha. Ela, my Rabbi, the Rabbi says, the Rebbe, Rabbah gave a teretz on half of the problem. The Rabbi Yehuda loy kasha, the answer is, kiddushonim. Like you just answered. What's the teretz on the Rabbana? How come the Rabbana, by the Mishnah of Saita, they say you observe the din in the Chumash and you don't worry about Hirhurim? How come over there by the Skida you do worry about Hirhurim? And for the Gemara, the Rabbana Nami Loi Kasha. Och, a time am I. Why do we say over here, you have to observe, you have to rip up Ganim and so on? Time am I, Mishum, the Pasuk says, Vinivasra Kol Hanashim. You have to give Musar and Techocha to the women. So if you're going to say, if the woman is very attractive, we shouldn't rip up Ganim and we shouldn't Sashtera here. She's very attractive. This single man may have a Yetzirah, okay, but we have to be Mevazah her. Benivasu kol anoshim. That's why we have to be Mevazah her. From her perspective, even though there's a concern about the Pirchei Kohuna, but from her perspective, we have to be Mevazah her. Awesome, by over there, we're giving skila, ein lo chayisa, godel mizeh. We're putting her to death. So that's enough. That's enough over there. You don't have to be mevaza her more by having her be undressed. V'chitema, maybe you should suggest levit bo tarti. Want to do both? Give her the death penalty plus have her undressed also to be mevaza her both. And for the Gemara, no. Amram nachna, amram avu, amram krov. We have a pasuk that says v'hafta l'reacha kamoicho. So the pasuk shad and the pasuk is you have to treat people nicely. An additional level of interpretation is bro lo misa yofa. That's not the main aspect of the pasuk. Tosis in Sanhedrin tries to prove that that's what the main theme of the pasuk is. The pasuk b'shabi after rachamacha goes in normal life, but also included in the pasuk is when you're trying to establish what form of misa to give. You have either A or B, so give the more bekavadiga form of misa. So you should give the woman the more bekavadig form of misa to let her keep her clothes on. So the Gemara says, that's interesting. That's where Rav Nachman says, bro, la misa yofa. Should I say that Rav Nachman's din is a machloikah satanoi? That's exactly the machloikah of Yudah and the Rabbanan. When a woman gets skila, so Rav Yudah says, you have her undressed. And the Rabbanan say, no, you don't have her undressed because bro, la misa yofa. So should I say this point is exactly the machlekes of Yudah and the Rabbanan? Lema the Rav Nachman Tanoihi? Is this a machlekes hatanoi? So the Gemara says, loy. It could well be, not necessarily. It could well be, the Kuli, Alma Islu, the Rav Nachman. Everybody agrees you have to be brola meisa yofen. So by a man who's getting ski law, if he's going to have his clothes on, it's going to take him longer to die. So the man would prefer to be undressed. He's getting the death penalty anyway. So it's better to suffer a little bizyonis, to stand there almost naked. They're going to cover up the front of his body. To stand there almost completely naked, and he's going to die faster. By the women, it could be that's the machloika. How do you fulfill brola misiyofa? Would the women prefer to die faster in order to suffer less, but to suffer bizyonis of being undressed in front of everybody? Or would the women prefer to have more pain to take a little longer to die, not to be humiliated, to stand around dressed. So maybe that's the machlokes of Satanoim.
Why does the Gemara assume that wearing clothing or not wearing clothing is going to affect how fast you die?
Because they're throwing stones. They're going to throw them off. First they throw them off of a cliff, a high, and then they're going to throw stones on. So the Gemara assumes that if he has no clothes on, he's going to die faster. I don't know exactly why. That's how they assume. The stones are going to get to him, and when he bangs himself, it's going to get to him faster. So the Gemara suggests maybe it's a psychological machlokes, and it's very hard to take a poll on this psychological machlokes. Take a poll of women. How many women would prefer you go put yourself into such a situation? Once every... Yeah, when they're ready to get the misa, so it's mistama, they're not able to think straight. They have to take a poll of people who can't think straight. Keep it. Okay, so they're going to be drunk, so they won't be able to think straight. So the Gemara says this is a machlekes amitzias, a machlekes amitzias. Usually you don't have a machlekes amitzias, but a lot of times the psychological machlekes, this is hard to take a poll. So the Gemara says maybe this is the machlekes, maybe this is the machlekes. Masave b'zerne de gufe odif lo, tfe mitzar de gufa. This should all be in feminine, not in masculine. By men, we assume the man would rather die faster, rather than he would rather be humiliated, standing there undressed, and die faster, rather than to keep his clothes on. But the whole machlokes only is by women, because we want to give the misa, brala misa yofa. So we have two ways to administer the misa: with clothing, without clothing. Should you do it like this? Should you do it like that? So the Gemara suggests maybe that's the machlokes. Masave bizani odif lo tfei mitzar de gufa. The women would prefer to keep their clothes on, not to be humiliated, even though it's going to be more painful. It's going to take longer to die. Marsav and the other chacham, no, tzari de gufa, all the flot femi bizyoinu. This should all be in the feminine. The machlokes is by women. Yeah. Our Gemara presents it as if the din deraisa applies really to men and to women. The din that you're supposed to take off their clothes to do the skila, how does the pasuk go? Skaltem also ba'avodim, also below ksusa. So Gemara assumes also below ksusa applies both to men and to women, and it's only a din midirabanan. It's only a din midirabanan that the chachamim say huisha is not in skela saruma. Yesh koach laka b'shevi al tasa. Yeah, but then the Gemara in Sanhedrin presents a different version that also skaltam also baban also below ksusa also below osa. Maybe it's really a din deraisa. So that's not at all. That doesn't correspond to our sugya. That's a totally different, another explanation of what the machlokes is. Everything is based on psuk. So different ways to read that Mishnah in Sanhedrin.
Since the Gemara is saying that women can accept more pain than men.
The women would prefer to suffer the pain rather than to suffer physical pain, rather than to suffer the humiliation.
In general, they can accept more pain because of birth, etc.
Could well be.
But also, who is doing the stoning? I mean, it's the men who are doing the stoning, right?
Yeah.
Witnesses have to be men. So for a woman, it's the opposite. She's standing there naked in front of the opposite gender.
Yeah.
Same gender.
Right. That is true. So the humiliation is much less, right?
It also says Rishus Biyad Bezdin. Rishus Biyad Bezdin. That's how you avoid the Oker Biyadayim.
The Yesh Koach Laka B'Shevi Al Tasa.
Yeah, but here it's Biyadayim if they make it dress. Tosa says.
What do you mean Biyadayim?
No, the Bezdin is saying that we're going to, the Torah says, let's say, she should be dressed and Bezdin is going to undress her, or vice versa.
Yeah.
So it won't be Shevi Al Tasa. That
if the Torah says you should really do skila without clothes, and you're not going to take off the clothes,
they're going to put the clothes on, so that's biyadayim. I know that.
They're not going to put the clothes on. They're going to give the skila without insisting on removing the clothes. So that, I think that's always going to be a shevi al tasa.
So
no.
Or should be our best in Lasso's commotion here too. Before the Islam tells us, it came unwoken, how cost it be a dime?
doesn't say anything. I mean, the pasuk only says about a male. It doesn't say anything about a woman. So the bezin rabbanim have to decide what they want to do.
So what does tosu mean? Im kein unwoken hakasa biyadayim.
Not sure.
I think biyadayim means that
it's called kumbi asay.
They're changing the use of scope of things. So tosu says that the Torah gave rishus bezin to do what they would, to decide either this way or that.
Yeah.
Because it follows up the other
Tosafot
before that we
explained Shebi'al Tazet. Yes.
Changes.
Yes. Could be. Yep. So then the Mishnah continues to describe the whole ceremony of the Sot and the Beis Hamikdash. They rip a begodim. Then it says on the last line on Zayin Amid Aleph, it says, Hoysim is kasa b'levonim. If she's dressed with nice, beautiful white clothing, we insist she should wear dark clothing. She shouldn't come in like a princess, all dressed up beautifully. And he says she should change her clothes. What if she comes in with a black wedding gown? Black? So the Tosefta says, Tegna, the Brisa says, Tana, says in the Brisa, Hoyushkarim Noim Lo. If she's wearing black clothing and she looks stunning in the black clothing, then we insist that she should change till we give her some shmata to wear. The insistence is not white versus black. It's ugly versus pretty clothing. We don't allow the Soita to come into the Beis Hamikdash for the process dressed in a fancy fashion. Then the Mishnah continues to say, what if she's wearing jewelry? So you have to take off all the jewelry. That's the top line on Zion and Beis. You have to take off the jewelry. So the Gemara says, Pshita, of course you take off the jewelry. If we rip her begotten and we tishter her hair and we insist she should wear an ugly dress, honey, my boy, of course you don't let her wear the jewelry. What's it? What's the chiddush? Why does the Mishnah even have to spell it out? So the Gemara says, no. Ma'u detema bahani yisla bizoyin tfei. Maybe if she's going to wear a shmata as a dress and we're going to tear it, we're going to be sloppy. So if she's going to be wearing jewelry, she'll look even more ridiculous. And when a woman is dressed nicely, and she has a fancy wedding gown on, and she wears jewelry, so that's the icing on top of the cake. She even looks better. But if she's wearing pajamas and she's wearing jewelry, if she's wearing a shmata of a dress and everything's torn and tattered, so one might have thought it's a bigger bizon. So let her wear the jewelry. She'll look more ridiculous. Kidi amri, isn't she? Like people say jokingly, shaliach artil v'sai misani. The person is naked. Shlech means to take off all your clothes. Strip and you'll be naked, but keep on wearing your shoes so the person looks ridiculous. A lot of people walk around dressed, but they don't wear shoes. They walk around without shoes, without socks, whatever. But to wear shoes without any clothes on, that's more ridiculous. Kamash Malon, the Gemara says, no, if she's wearing jewelry, that will draw attention. It may enhance her looks, so we insist she has to take off the jewelry. Sometimes you have this kind of a b'china. A person is naked and is wearing jewelry. You have a lot of times a person is not so careful. They're not so careful on the real mitzvahs in the Torah. They cheat in business and they talk lashon hara and they do. They're not so medactic on this, but this chumrah, the other chumrah. What are you observing chumras? Yeah, the chumras is good if the person is fully dressed with beautiful clothing, then you wear the jewelry on top. So the chumris, if mikaradin, something is mutter, and you want to observe a chumris, so that's like the jewelry on top of the clothing. But if the person is naked from the basic mitzvahs, we're not so observant in the basic mitzvahs. So it's a lot of times out of place to observe the chumris. It just looks meguchach, it looks ridiculous. Then the Mishnah has, when we tear the dress, so her clothes are going to start falling down, so it's going to be undressed. So the Mishnah says, v'chakach, maybe chevel ha-mitzri, we take a piece of cord, a rough piece of cord, v'kosher l'mayli midadeha, that the dress shouldn't fall down. She shouldn't be exposed. The Gemara has agansa chakirip, a very strange shayla. V'reg di Gemara, boi menei rababe meravuni. Yes, the shayla, chevel ha-mitzri, ma'u she'ya'ake b'soito. Is this ma'ake v'na? Taisa says, they find it so strange. What was the shaila in the first place? Why should anybody think that it's ma'akev? should I say, is the whole reason Mishum Shalei Shamtu Begodeha Me'alehuhu. The whole concern is we're afraid. We're going to rip the dress. We're going to fall down. She's going to be, her whole chest is going to be exposed. So if you have it with tzil cut namisak, if you have a little string, is also good. It doesn't have to be a chevel amitri rough to be mevazah. Because we have later the Gemara is going to say the whole punishment of the soita is midah keneged midah. He chagar alo b'tziltzul. She dressed up with a beautiful outfit in order to ensnare this man, to have an affair with this man who was not her husband. Maybe it should be miyake. Maybe I should say, since we want to have all the punishments, all the bizyonis, all the bushes should be mida, keneged mida, so maybe we should insist dafke that it should be chevel amitzri. This is the shayla that he asked Rav Huna. So Rav Huna answers, we have a brisa tenisua. It says in the brisa, a line in addition to what it says in the Mishnah. The Mishnah just says, maybe chevel amitzri because shemal medadeh. That's all. So you can clear your shayla, maybe it's market, but the brisa spells it out. The brisa adds on, it says the whole reason is that a dress shouldn't fall down. So if you have another way of holding up the dress, it's not me'akev. We should have a chevel amitzri, which is a rough thing to show to be mevazaher. We're not putting fancy ribbons on. But if it's not available, so nishgefelach, you can use whatever you want to use. Then the Mishnah continues to say, the third line in Mishnah, Zayinam Adbei. So the third line from the top says, Chola rota liras bo liras. Whoever wants to come and look at the soita is allowed to come. Sounds like men or women are allowed to come. Then the last line in the Mishnah says, V'chol anoshim mutaris liras. Women are allowed to watch it. Shenema, v'nivas rekol anoshim. We want to give musa to all the women. All the married women should see. The single girls should also see. That if a woman is going to be mizanat hachazbat, look what bizyonish she's going to have. And the other women should take a lesson. They shouldn't do znus like this woman did. So the Mishnah first says, it sounds like men or women. Then it continues to sound like only women. So that's a stirah. So the Gemara asks, before the Mishnah, Hagufa Kash, isn't there a contradiction in the Mishnah? First you said, does make a difference whether men or women. Then the next line in the Mishnah says, only women. You don't have any men standing by. The Kohen is the man. But you don't have any other men standing around. So Abai says, that's what it means. When the first line in the Mishnah says, whoever wants to come and see her, it's only referring to women, the men should not come. Omalei Rabba, so Rabba says, how can you interpret the Mishnah like that? It doesn't fit in. It says anybody wants to come. How can you interpret kol anoshim? It doesn't say kol anoshim. El amar Rav, it means like this. Kol arotz aliris bo roi. Whoever wants to come, lo shnegar v'lo shnenashi, can come. And whoever, whatever women are in the neighborhood, we insist that they should come. Not that it says kol anoshim mutoris. Mutoris means they're permitted. No, mutoris means we mechayiv them to come. We encourage them. Noshim chayav is lerosa. Why? Because the Navi says, "V'nivasu kol anoshim." We want to give musa to the women that they shouldn't be mizan. Okay.
We're not worried about hero at all.
Okay. Yeah.
As far as the men.
That was the Tanaim discussed it. To what extent are you concerned about here? Yeah. That's how the Gemara said. Mare in the beginning of Maseches Avodah Zarah discusses the Chet Ra'egel. So the Gemara quotes one opinion that it doesn't really make sense, but Derech HaTeva, that the Jewish people should worship the Chet Ra'egel. After they experienced the Esa Makas and the Kriyas Yamsuf and the Gilui Shechina and Maimon HaSinai, so it doesn't make sense. They had no Bechira. How can you have Bechira Chavshis to go sin to worship the Chet Ra'egel? So the Gemara has a statement, Lohoi Sosha Bosaro Ruim Bosador Ruim Loisa Maisa. But Derech HaTeva, they would be left up to Teron Bechira Chavshis, they would never sin with the Chet Ra'egel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu suspended their Bechira Chavshis and caused them to sin. What was the interest of Ribbono Shel Olam to cause them to sin? K'dei Lahoris Tshuva L'Rabim. The whole purpose of the Chet Ra'egel was in order to teach Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayav Hashem Apono Vayikra, Malam Shein Satav Hakadosh Baruch Hu Geshliach Tzibur, and he says, Kol Zman Shebanei Choytim, Yasa Lefonik Yaseidah Azad Abani Mochalem. The Rebbe Shlom wanted to teach them in Israel that even if the Lahoris Chuvah Larabim, even if the whole Tzibur does the worst Avera possible, Avodah Zarah, they can do Tshuvah, and the method of doing Tshuvah, you should recite Yud Gimel Midas and be Mispalel, and everything will be forgiven. So the Gemara has such a comment also benegir to David HaMelech. Gemara claims that the same memory says, same Adam says, Lahoi David Roy Lo Samaisa. David, if he would be left up to his own Chir Chavshis, he would never have sinned with Bathsheba. To whatever extent his sin was, the Gemara has a different discussion in the beginning of Ksubis. Ela Lahoris Tshuva LeYochid, that his Chir Chavshis was suspended. And Mirah Shemaim, they caused them to sin in order to teach the lesson of Tshuva. That it's possible for a Yochid to do such a terrible Avera of Yeshisish, or something related to Yeshisish, and it's still possible to do Tshuva. So that's why the Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Rambam wrote a whole Sefer HaMitzvahs, so he lists off what he thinks are the 248 mitzvahs and which are the 365 mitzvahs. So the Ramban disagrees here and there, and he deletes about 17, 18 mitzvahs. He has to replace them with others. So one of the mitzvahs that the Ramban is not sure about is Zohar in Chumash Dvarim, Zohar Esa Shehetzapta Hashem Alokecha Bamidbar, which remember the Chet HaEgel. The Ramban says it may be a Zohar Asha only for the Dora Midbar, that they should remember the Chazdei Hashem, that they sinned with the Chet HaEgel and HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave them. Or it may be a Din L'Doiris, he's not sure, maybe that's a Chiyuv Kriyas HaTorah once a year, every year, to read Chet HaEgel. We Yaitzim when we read Parshas Kisisa. So the Magen Avraham quotes the Yalkut Shemani. The Magen Avraham didn't have the Sefer HaMitzvahs. He quotes the Yalkut Shemani that says, like the Ramban. Yalkut Shemani says there's an obligation, like Parsha Zohar, once a year, every year, to read Parsha Zohar. So there's a din once a year, every year, to read Chet HaEgel. Zohar is, there's a din to remember Maimon HaSinai. It's also a pasuk. Once a year, every year, to recite the Parsha's Maimon HaSinai. That we yotzei on Parshas Yisro, on Parshas Raschanan, and on Shavuos, we learn three times a year. So the Magen Avraham quotes the Yalkut Shemani like the Ramban. There's a chiv once a year, every year, to learn Chet HaEgel. Then the Magen Avraham asks, how come we don't make a whole hullabaloo? We should have a whole special Haftarah, and we should have it marked on the calendar, and everybody, the Gabbai, should make an announcement, everybody should have in mind to be yotzei. The same thing, Chet Miriam. The Ramban thinks that that's also a mitzvah. To remember Chet Miriam is also in the same parsha in Kisetzeh, I think. So the Magen Avraham said, Magen Avraham asked the kasha, make a whole hullabaloo about Chet Miriam. So he says it's a busha for the tzaddikis, and it's a busha for Klal Yisrael. That's why we don't want to make a big fuss about it. But basically, he thinks that it is a mitzvah min haTorah. Some of the Achrayim suggest, what is the mitzvah to remember the Chet Miriam? Mitzvah to remember the Chet Miriam is to remember the lesson of tshuva, that it's possible the harvest tshuva l'rabim, it's possible the whole community does an avera chamura, and we can still pull ourselves out of the mess. So that's what some suggest. Then in Shulchan Aruch they quote some Rishonim and say that Parshas Parah is their eis. Why should Parshas Parah be their eis? Where is there a pasuk in Chumash that says Parshas Parah is their eis? So Rashi in the beginning of Parshas Chukas quotes from Rav Moshe HaDarshan. We have that in Bamidbar Rabbah. Whatever Rashi quotes from Moshe Darshan a few times, so it always appears by us in Bamidbar Rabbah. Probably Bamidbar Rabbah is from the later generations. Bereishis Rabbah is the oldest, and the other Medrash Rabbahs are later. So the Rashi quotes from Moshe Darshan that the idea behind Parah Aduma is as a kapara for the Chet HaEgel. Tavo Ha'em would kaneach tzoaz beno. Like when the baby has a dirty diaper, so the mother has to clean up the diaper. So the Chet HaEgel, the Egel, was an egel azov, but an egel is the baby of a para. So the mitzvah of para aduma serves to clean up the mess of the chet egel. So some want to suggest that the reading parshas para is a din deraisa because you're reading about the possibility of a kapara. The whole purpose of the chet egel was to teach the lesson of kapara, to teach that you recite vayavasham apanav, Kadosh Baruch Hu acted as if he was a shlech tzibur, and he taught everybody how to recite the Yud Gimel Midas. So the whole purpose of the Chet HaEgel was to teach the lesson of Tshuva. So by reading Parshas Parah, maybe that's the key mitzvah. But the Magen Avraham understands that the reading Parshas Kisisa is the key mitzvah. So he said everyone should have in mind, the Baal Kori and the Tzibah should have in mind, when Yer Kisisa, that one is in fulfillment of this mitzvah min haTorah, according to the Ramban. It's a mitzvah once a year, every year, to lay in the story of Chet HaEgel.
It says if by polonios, then it's a chelik from the ego. The chegel. So if it's the chavshus was suspended, so what should it, why should there be polonios?
Yeah, it says they gave the death penalty to many of the people also. So the mashiach, if they suspended the chavshus, why do they deserve?
Why do they deserve misa?
It must be the various that they did previously. Problematic.